Corinthians, if you want to have them opened up. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is where we'll be. Today we're going to begin a new series. It's just a short one, 4 Sundays, and then of course Christmas comes. So we will move into talking about Christmas the second Sunday in December. But until then, for 4 Sundays, we're going to do a little series. And it's going to be a series called The Gifts. And no, it's not a Christmas series. It's actually a family series. It's on family and marriage. It just happens to be called The Gifts. And each of the 4 weeks, I'm going to talk about a different gift from Scripture, a different gift from the Lord. And so today we're going to start with the first one. And if you would stand, I'm going to pray for this series as well as today's message. Our Father, as we go into your word now and we talk about something as important as family, as marriage, and the things that are connected with that, I pray, God, that in these next 4 weeks you would make each of these studies very relevant and powerful in the lives of those who need to hear each one. We're in different situations, we're in different seasons of life. And yet, Lord, each of these things we'll talk about are indeed gifts from you, for which we are thankful. And sometimes, Lord, we admit that we don't open those gifts and really enjoy them the way you intended. And I pray that as a result of this series, that would happen. So guide us as we get started. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we learn truth from it that we can apply to our lives. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. The Bible talks about God giving gifts. And when you think about just that term gifts, you can go through Scripture and see the different things that are referred to as gifts from God. And there's a list there on your study sheet up in the right-hand top corner. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ himself is a gift to us from God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And if Paul was thinking about Jesus in 2 Corinthians when he talked about God's indescribable gift, and some think that's what he was talking about, we learn that Jesus Christ himself is a gift from God to us. A gift from God with love. The Bible also says that eternal life is a gift from God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is a gift given to those who repent of their sins and believe in Jesus and his work. Acts chapter 2 is one of the places where the Apostle Peter calls the Holy Spirit a gift given to all believers by God, from God with love. In 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, Paul talks about gifts. They're called spiritual gifts, special abilities for ministry that God gives to his people. And then in Ecclesiastes, Solomon says something interesting. And I don't know if you agree with this, but it's true because it's in Scripture. Solomon says that the satisfaction we get in our work and the fruit of our work is a gift from God. I hope that you have opened that gift and enjoy it. The satisfaction of your work and the fruit that comes from your work. Solomon says it's a gift from God. Now, the Bible also says that children are a gift from the Lord, and we'll talk about that in a couple weeks. Children are a gift from the Lord. The last message in the series, we'll talk about salvation itself, because Paul in Ephesians 2 says it is a gift from the Lord. But today, we're going to talk about the first of the 4 gifts. And it comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And most people aren't aware of this statement, and they aren't aware of this particular thing being called a gift from God in Scripture. But I want you to see it today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the whole chapter is about marriage, different marriage issues that have been raised, and Paul is addressing them for the Corinthian people. And as he's talking about marriage, we come to verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 7. And he says, but I wish, by the way, I'm using a New Living Translation today because some of this is going to be more understandable. So if you don't have a New Living, just listen. But in verse 7 it says, but I wish everyone were single just as I am. Yet, each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. Now, when you're familiar with the context of this chapter, you know what Paul means by one kind or another. He's talking about two things. Marriage or being single like him. He says, I wish everyone were single like me. But to each, there is a gift from God. One kind or the other. So he's actually calling marriage a gift from God, which we'll talk about next week. But he's also saying being single is a gift from God. And so we're going to talk about the gift of singleness for a while. Now that is relevant to a number of you. Many of you are married, but still listen. You may be able to pass this on to somebody. We're going to talk about the gift of singleness. Now, some people don't see it as a gift when they're single. It's hard for them to think, how could this be a gift from God that I'm single? But Scripture says it is a gift from God to be single. And somebody might be single because they've never been married. Somebody might be single because of a divorce. Somebody might be single because of a death. But we're going to look at singleness as a gift from God. Before we dive into that, and this I just had to add after last night, and I'll make it fit because when we think of singleness, we think of dating, I guess. And I got to spend some time with my mother last night, and she actually started talking about her dating experiences when she was young. And I learned some things that I hadn't known before. She talked about how at one time she dated a man named Stanley Holmes. And after dating him a few times, she said she came home one night after a date with Stanley and told her mother that she found out Stanley had been bragging to other people about her. And this is what she said her mother, my grandmother, told her in response. My grandma Tina said, when they start bragging about you, stop going out with them. They are getting too serious. That was my grandma's advice to my mother about Stanley. Well, she stopped dating Stanley. She talked about the first date she ever had with my dad. It didn't start out as a date, she said. She and her best friend Eunice got together with my dad and his best friend Mervyn Knutson. And the four of them just went out as friends for the evening. But by the end of the evening, she said, we had paired up. And Mervyn and Eunice kind of connected, and my dad and my mom connected. And she said, when Dad took her home that night, at the door, when he said goodbye, he said, good night, Mervyn. I'd never heard that story before. Most single people probably do have some dating stories. And even we who are married now have some dating stories, I'm sure, from when we were single. But I want to talk about singleness just briefly, some thoughts about it, because we don't talk about it very often. First of all, singleness is not a problem. Singleness is not a curse. If you are single, there is nothing wrong with you. The Bible says it's a gift. It's a gift from God. And God only gives what kind of gifts? Good gifts, according to James. So, I want to quickly talk about the battles involved in being single. The benefits of being single. We see some in 1 Corinthians 7. The buts, because even after you talk about the benefits of being single, people will have the buts. And then the blessings of accepting and getting to the place of thanking God for that season of your life, being single. So, let's quickly go through this. The battles that are involved in being single. Battles that single people have. First of all, I think a lot of single people battle with things like discontent and impatience, right? Single people find themselves waiting, especially if they have a desire to be married, especially if it's something they've always hoped for, to be married. And yet they seem to find themselves waiting and waiting, and it never happens. And so they can have this battle with contentment, this battle with impatience. It's a good thing to desire. I mean, marriage is a good thing. Next week we're going to see it's a gift. But the waiting becomes a battle. Another battle that single people have is pressure. A lot of the pressure is put on themselves. You know, pressure to find somebody and get married. It's not happening, and they keep putting the pressure on themselves because somehow they've decided you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to get married. But sometimes it's also pressure from the outside, pressure from other people, pressure from friends, pressure from family, and then they have to battle that pressure from inside and from outside. And it's difficult. Single people have a battle sometimes in their whole view of themselves. Because they start thinking, if they're not careful, that maybe there's something wrong with them. People aren't interested in me. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not attractive. Maybe people don't see anything in me that is marriage worthy. But it starts to play around with your whole view of yourself. And it becomes a battle when you're single, for some people. Some eventually will begin to battle God. They'll actually get frustrated with God, because how long do I have to wait, God? They'll even begin to question God's goodness. And they have that spiritual battle that goes on. And then, of course, there's the battle of the temptation to lower your standards. Maybe if I lower my standards, marriage will come more quickly. I'll lower my standards of the kind of person that I'm willing to marry. Or I'll lower my moral standards as I'm waiting, because maybe that'll speed it up. And so there's this battle with different temptations. And so it's very hard for some people to be single, especially as it goes on and on and on, year after year after year. A lot of battles. It can be very difficult. Second, there are benefits. And we need to be aware of the benefits of singleness. And if you go further into 1 Corinthians 7, Paul begins to mention some things that I think are worthy of us considering when we think of the benefits of being single, that season of life. Now, when we come to verse 26, we're going to take it from there. He's going to begin verse 26 saying, because of the present crisis. So it sounds like there's something specifically at that time going on that involves the Christian people in Corinth that he calls a present crisis. He doesn't go into detail on that, but I'm just going to guess, I think it's a pretty good guess, that there might be persecution happening. Christians being persecuted for their faith. And he's calling that the present crisis. It's a hard time to be a Christian. and to live for Jesus. And so he says in verse 26, because of the present crisis, I think it is best to remain as you are. Verse 28, if you do get married, it's not a sin. If a young woman gets married, it's not a sin. However, those who get married at this time will have troubles. And I'm trying to spare you of these troubles. So because of the present crisis, what's going on, it's easier, it would be better for you if you stay single. There's a benefit in being single. Jump to verse 32. He says, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please Him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. So Paul is talking about a specific situation that's going on. He calls it a crisis. And he's saying in that situation, it would be better for you to be single. There are benefits to being single. Now I want to take the benefits he gives there and suggest to you that they are some of the same benefits to being single today. Maybe we're not talking about the same kind of present crisis that Paul was talking about, this outright persecution. But the benefits that he is presenting to being single at that time are really what I think are the benefits of being single today and being in that season of your life. So let me just share some of them, and you'll notice that they're kind of similar to what Paul says. First of all, he talks about being free from extra concerns. When you think about that, that is a benefit of being single. Because when you're married, you do have extra concerns. You have extra responsibilities that come along with marriage. And one of the benefits of being single is that that season of your life, you're free from those responsibilities, those extra concerns. Now, what Paul is saying in their situation is, in this crisis, being married means you have to be concerned about your wife. You have to be concerned about her safety and how she's doing. If you're not married, you're just concerned about yourself and you're only walking through this crisis on your own. See the difference? And he's saying right now in this situation, in this season, it would be better to be single because you're free from that extra concern, that extra responsibility. Being single also frees a person to do the Lord's work in a more undistracted way, a more focused way. And he brings that up there, that the person who is not married is able to really focus on serving the Lord, pleasing the Lord, doing work for the Lord. When you're married, rightly so, you need to be focused on your spouse and your responsibilities to him or her and pleasing him or her. That's your responsibility. And so what he's saying in that crisis, but also I think in general, when you're single, you are actually during that season free to do the Lord's work, to focus on the Lord and please Him in ways that might not be the same once you're married, because then you have all these extra responsibilities and concerns concerning your spouse. Another benefit would be this idea. He talks about divided interests. Okay? Divided interests. You know, I want to serve the Lord. I want to work for the Lord. But then I also have the responsibility as a husband, as a wife, to serve my wife, to serve my husband, to please them. And so what Paul is saying is when you're single, you're kind of freed up to just, let's put it this way, play on words. When you're single, you can be more single-minded. Okay? When you're single, you're free to be more single-minded toward serving the Lord, toward growing in the Lord, toward working for the Lord, toward pleasing the Lord. You don't stop doing those things when you get married. But there are extra responsibilities and concerns when you're married. Okay? So I think Paul is saying there is a benefit there during that season of singleness where you don't have to have this divided interest. You can really pursue the Lord, pursue the things of the Lord, serve Him in ways that you really won't be free to when you're married. Another benefit. There could be some financial benefits. Less financial needs. That could be a benefit in that season of time. More time for ministry, if that's important to you, and it should be. There could be more time for ministry that might be limited once you're married because of those concerns and responsibilities. Put it this way, I think single people have the benefit of maybe stepping out, taking the risk of some really unique opportunities to serve the Lord that involve coming and going and being mobile. Once you get married, there's some limit on that, you know, because you have other concerns as well. But when you're single, there's kind of this freedom to take these unique opportunities for serving the Lord. Because you have that freedom to come and go and try this and try this. And that can be a benefit if you look at it that way. Our son Seth isn't married yet. And as those of you who were at youth group last year around Thanksgiving, he explained that to you. And he's making the best of it. And it is allowing him to do these unique things for the Lord. Just last weekend, he made a trip down to South Dakota to Rock Ridge Reservation and spent the weekend with boys, Native boys, that he had counseled at camp years ago. But every year he makes a couple trips over there just to be with them and follow up with them. Isn't that great? Let me suggest, it's possible that if God has marriage in Seth's life, he may not be able to do that very often. Okay? Just because of the extra concerns and responsibilities of being married. Isn't that right? I mean, just being practical. But right now he's single, so he's taking opportunities that he's free to do, these unique opportunities, because he can come and go and serve the Lord and minister during this season of his life. It's a benefit. So there are benefits if you're willing to look for them in being single during this season of your life. At that point, people will say, but. We always have buts, don't we? Yeah, you throw out all these great things, and then there's always those people who say, but, right? But what if? What if I never get married? We were just at a conference this week. Ray Pritchard was the speaker, and he made this statement. He says, what ifs will kill you. Single people have their what ifs, though, don't they? Someone might say, but I'm lonely. This is a lonely life. You know, I see these married people, they have someone. And I'm lonely. They'll say, but I'm incomplete. I just feel like my life is not complete. I'm not a complete person because I'm not married. Check out Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. it says to Christians, you have been made complete in Christ. He says, your union with Christ has made you complete. It isn't marriage that completes us, friends. Nowhere is that taught. It's our relationship with Jesus that completes us. If you are not complete, the problem isn't being single, not being married. There's a spiritual issue going on that you don't get concerning your relationship with Christ. Because God says you have been made complete in your union with Christ. That's where completeness is. But it's my dream. It's always been my dream to be married. And it's not happening. But it will make me so much more happy if I could be married. Can I add something here? If you're an unhappy single person, I predict you'll be an unhappy married person. Marriage isn't the secret formula to happiness. Don't expect it to be. But what if I never get married? What if it never happens? So there's always the buts. I don't know if you wrote those buts down, but there's a pattern. They all have something similar. Did you catch it? There are 5 or 6 buts there. Did you catch the similarity with all of them? I, right? I'm lonely. I'm not complete. It's my dream. I will never be happy till I'm married. I. If that's how you feel now, I hope you never get married, because that is poison to a marriage when it's all about you. And if you're learning to be an I person now as a single individual, if you ever get married and you bring that thinking into marriage, and every couple here can vouch for it, you are looking at a rocky road. Because marriage is not about I. And if you're going to be an I person when you're single, marriage won't change that. So, take that. It's free. The blessings. There are battles. It's hard. And it can be hard the longer it goes, being single, that season. There are benefits. Paul talks about benefits in that time, in that situation, but I think they're the same benefits today as you go through the season of singleness. We have our buts. But there are blessings. If we are willing, during the single season of life, to accept that situation, and even go as far as thanking God for that season of life, for our singleness, acknowledging it's a gift from God, like the Bible says, and deciding to open that gift and actually enjoy it from God with love. I'm going to open this gift you're giving me right now, God, this season of life called singleness, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to make the best of it. If you make that choice, there are blessings. I think there will be growth. There will be opportunities to serve the Lord like you've never known. You will see your character being built. You will find yourself freed from the bondage of always pursuing marriage as though it's the end all. You will find yourself being used by God uniquely, perhaps in ways He couldn't use you once you're married. You won't miss today's gifts and blessings if you accept this season of life. Because when you don't accept your singleness, you're always looking out to the future until that day I get married. And you're missing the blessings and the gifts right in front of your nose every day that God has for you as a single person. But when you accept this season of life and you thank God for it and you make the most of it and you enjoy it and experience the benefits, along comes the blessing of the gifts of today. You're not missing them. And another blessing of accepting and thanking God for and making the most of this gift of singleness is that it will help you prepare for the day when maybe God will have marriage in His plan for you. You'll be prepared. Some people are so busy pursuing marriage that they're not preparing for marriage. And a blessing of just accepting that season of life is it tends to prepare you to be a husband and prepare you to be a wife. Back to Ray Pritchard, he shared with us that he had a 76-year-old secretary, and every time they would part, when the day was over, instead of saying goodbye, this 76-year-old lady would say, "Have a blast as long as it lasts." Now, she was talking about her age and his age, you know. But hey, we don't know how long we're going to last, right? We don't know how many days God has for us. So why spend it preoccupied and worried and in bondage to this idea that maybe I'll never get married? And I hate this situation of singleness. God has given you a gift of singleness. It's a season of life. It's a gift from God with love. Open it. Enjoy it. Have a blast as long as it lasts. Make the most of it. Serve God in ways you couldn't before and might not be able to once you're married. Make the most of it. It's a gift from God, this season of singleness. Very quickly, encouragement. First of all, to those of you who are married, don't leave the single people out of your life. So many of us, when we get married, we decide, well, now we have new peers, other married people. Why do we do that? Include them in your life. Build relationships with single people. They have something to offer you. Don't shut the door on them just because you've entered a different season. And especially you young marrieds, it hasn't been so long since you were single. You should have the most understanding of a single person and the battles and the struggles. Don't shut the door on them because now you're married. They should still be important people in your life. Some encouragement to the Cupids, and you know who you are. You're out there. My dear Cupids, flying around with your wings and your little arrow. Got your own little eHarmony business going. Trying not to look at my wife over there. Just a word of encouragement to you. I know you have good motives. I know you care about the single people. I know you're trying to help them out. Just be careful how you communicate it. Just be careful how you communicate it. Because sometimes, in this eagerness for you to see them married, you might add to their pressure. You might add to the struggle they're already experiencing inside. You may even find yourself, even though you're not trying, communicating to the single person that there's something wrong with being single and you have to hurry up and get out of it and get married. They're already believing that lie, some of them, that there's something wrong with them. So just be careful how you communicate with them so that you're not feeding the struggle they're already having about being single. Okay? Just be careful. And then some final encouragement to the singles. even though you are not married, you are as much a part of this body as anybody else, this church family. You are just as important as any married person in this church family. You are just as needed as anyone else. And you are just as loved as anyone else. Believe it. Live with purpose during this season of your life. Live with purpose. What's your purpose as a Christian? It's to be like Jesus. It's to bring glory to God. Don't wait for marriage before you fulfill your purpose. Fulfill it in this season of life as a single person. Marriage isn't the finish line. That's not the end all. Heaven and becoming like Jesus is the finish line. That's what we pursue. We don't pursue marriage. We pursue Christ-likeness. Keep your focus. Don't let your desire to be married distract you from what you could be right now in this season of singleness. God has so much for you right now. He's the only one who knows the length of this season in your life. It may be short, it may be long, it may be singleness for the rest of your life. You don't know, God knows. But right now, keep your focus where it belongs. God will take care of the rest. Keep the main thing. Marriage isn't the main thing. And I know my wife has always been disappointed with this scripture. But Jesus said in heaven, we will be like the angels, no marrying or giving in marriage. That's what the Bible says. Keep the main thing, whether you're single or married. The main thing is what? Becoming like Jesus, serving Him, in whatever we do, doing it to the glory of God. That's what we pursue. That's the focus. Keep the main thing. Romans 12, and I'll close with this. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You know it, but how about applying it to your season of singleness? And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God doesn't want to transform you mainly into a wife or a husband. He wants to transform you into a new person, a Christ-like person. That's what He wants. But it takes surrender on your part. It takes accepting a season of singleness. It takes seeing it as a gift from God with love to you. It takes being willing to open that gift God has given you, called singleness, and enjoying it as long as it lasts, making the most of it, walking with God and serving Him. Surrendered. Have you surrendered your season of singleness to the Lord? Are you trusting Him, leaving it to Him, and just going all out to make these years of singleness the best they can be for the glory of God? That's the way to live. Have a blast while it lasts. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You that You had Your Apostle Paul even make some comments about being single. And especially, Lord, we appreciate it being referred to as a gift from You. Thank You, Father, for the gift of that season of singleness. And Father, I pray that those who are single, for whatever reason here today, would take these words, and whatever You wanted to say to them, Lord, that it would stir in their hearts, and that, Lord, they would make sure that this time in their life is just dedicated to You, given over to You, filled with pursuing You, pursuing Christ-likeness, pursuing Your glory. And then, Lord, would You take care of the rest, whatever Your will for them might be down the road. But may they just unwrap this gift and enjoy it. In Christ's name, amen.